Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
Well, today I want to wrap up our series on happy hour, Some of you guys haven't been here for the whole series or haven't been here for any of the series. And so I want to kind of touch base on what it's all about. Now, here's the thing. We believe in talking about things that the Bible talks about. Whether they're controversial or whether they're not controversial, we're going to tackle them head on, and we are going to try to give the world answers to the questions that they have. Now, here's the first question that we answered in this. And again, happy hour, pour me some spirit and leave the bottle. The first question that we answered was the question about alcohol. Can I be a Christian and drink alcohol and not sin? And we learned that Jesus would say, and again, the title of that message was, what would Jesus brew? Same response every time I say that. That is one of the most creative titles I've ever done, and you guys don't like it. I was going to get a bracelet made, WWJB. What would Jesus brew? But anyways, I'm past it. I'm not bitter. But we talked about alcohol, and we believe that Jesus would say that alcohol is a gift from God. And again, some of you guys you don't want to clap on that because... Never mind. Alcohol is a gift from God, but what tends to happen, just like all the other gifts that we've been given, we tend to abuse them. So again, if you were to say, you know, you're wrong for drinking a beer at dinner, you may not agree with me. But here's the thing. If Jesus were to come back to the earth, I believe that he would have a glass of wine at dinner, and if he was to buy me one, I would drink it with him. Amen? And again... Some of you guys are looking at me like, oh, what are my kids? Don't cover your ears, kids. Now listen, again, kids, there are laws that pertain to you. You don't need to be drinking a drip of anything until you're legal age or your parents, you know, again, or not or, you're legal age, and then just as the Spirit leads you. You know what I'm saying? But again, we would say that alcohol is a gift from God, but again, we tend to abuse it. The better question is, you know, not can I, but should I drink alcohol? And again, it may not be wise for you to drink alcohol. In my life, I grew up, you know, again, my dad was struggled with, drinking. My grandpa struggled with drinking. My uncle struggled with drinking. I mean, alcoholics in my family. So it may not be wise for me because I might like it too much. It may not be wise for you as well. You may have that extreme personality that can't just drink one, and you need to stay away from the stuff. The other thing is, it may not be wise for you to drink around certain people. Certain people have faced tragedy because of alcohol, and they have this illness in their life, this hurt, this pain in their life that causes them to struggle emotionally. And you need to be, not cause anybody else to stumble through what you think is okay. Does that make sense? And so again, you need to be wise in how you act, even if God's given you that freedom. So we tackled that issue. Again, we believe that drunkenness is a sin. We believe that that's what Jesus teaches. And so again, that's what we believe about alcoholism or alcohol in general. The second thing that we're talking about in this series is the Holy Spirit. Now again, for many of you, you've never heard a message on the Holy Spirit because a lot of preachers are scared to talk about the Holy Spirit because there's so much controversy or confusion about the Holy Spirit. Well again, we're not afraid to talk about what the Word of God talks about. Now again, are there different interpretations on things of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. But as a church, we have taken a stand that friendship with the Holy Spirit should not be feared. Again, you want to look at all the weird people that abuse and misuse the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you want to go, I don't want any part of that, and it causes fear in your life. But the truth is, we should not fear anything that's of God. And the Holy Spirit is God, and we should have a friendship with the Holy Spirit. And so again, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. We've looked at certain roles that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives, and I want to touch base on those real quick. First of all, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and shows us that we need a Savior. I mean, that's the greatest gift that He gives us. Because if we didn't have the Holy Spirit to lead us to Christ, it's not real, right? And so again, he convicts us of our sin, leads us to Jesus. Second thing was he comes into our lives the moment that we possess Jesus, that we give our life to Jesus. The third thing is he transforms us from the inside out. Again, it's not something we do on the outside and then we're good. No, the Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. The fourth thing is the Holy Spirit is our helper. The fifth thing was the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The sixth thing is the Holy Spirit is our friend. The seventh is he speaks to us, right? Not through our ears, but through our soul and our hearts and in our minds. I mean, again, those thoughts that he gives us, he speaks to us. And then the eighth thing that the Holy Spirit does is he gives us gifts. He gives us gifts. And we talked about this last week and we answered a couple questions. What is a spiritual gift? Well, again, it's something that's supernatural. It's an ability, it's an office, or it's a way of serving the church. That's what a spiritual gift is. And again, it's a gift given to every Christian by the grace of God. And it's used for the glory of God and the good of the church. So number two is this. Where do these spiritual gifts come from? Again, they come from the Holy Spirit. Some people want a gift that's not of the Holy Spirit. They pursue that gift and they think they ought to have that gift, but the Holy Spirit says, that's not your gift. And so again, we want to sometimes whine, why don't I have that gift? Why don't they? I mean, I've got this sorry gift and I want that gift. No, listen, the Holy Spirit decides who is going to receive what gift. And we ought to be thankful for the gift that we got, and we ought to be able to use it for His glory. Well, here's the thing. Here's where I want to start the message today. I want to continue, and I want to end this series by looking at, you know, again, another question about spiritual gifts. All right? You guys ready? I'm ready. Are you guys ready? Again, I want to write my name on the board so you guys don't. Mr. Haig. We are headed into class right now. My name is Mr. Haig. I want to be referred to that all throughout the day. But here's the thing. Today we're going to look at, again, what, and this is the third question. Again, what is a spiritual gift? We answered that. Where do they come from? We answered that. Number three is this. And here's where we're going to go today. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Again, you think, well, he's talking about these spiritual gifts. Well, what the heck are these gifts? And let me just say this before I roll into a list of gifts that are listed in the Bible. I don't have it all figured out. Amen? You don't have it all figured out. Again, there are certain things about the gifts, spiritual gifts. There are certain things about the Holy Spirit that we don't understand. And I love that. You know why? Because if I could understand it, then I would get bored with it and I'd put it down. But because there's a mystery to the Holy Spirit, there's a mystery to God, I'm never going to be able to figure Him out, and I love that. You know why? It makes me want to pursue Him even more. So I want to acknowledge that. I don't have it all figured out. Here's the next thing. Again, we don't choose our gifts. The Holy Spirit does. And we can have more than one gift. I need you to realize that. Again, certain people have more than one gift. Some of the gifts overlap. Let me just say that as well. And some are only found in the context of the church, right? I mean, certain offices in the church are only found in the church. But some are found in a universal type of way in application. Now, let me just say this, and I don't mean to dog anybody. I mean, this is obviously not my purpose. But I believe that there are certain gifts that are more vital and more important than other gifts. And again, you're like, thanks. Appreciate that. Let me explain it this way. The Bible talks about the body. And if we have a body, there are certain parts that are more important in your body than other parts, right? I mean, if you don't have your heart, it don't matter, right? If you're missing a toe, it's okay, right? And so again, you say, well, what's the point, Bo? Well, here's the thing. I believe that the Bible, again, gives certain people different gifts. And in the context of the church, there may be more important gifts than others. And you say, well, give me an example. Well, I would give you the example of if we have a secretary, God bless secretaries. But if we have a secretary and we don't have a pastor or leadership, then the church probably isn't going to grow, right? I mean, does that make sense? And so again, they're all important, but some are more vital than others. Now again, that's just the way, again, God maybe, or he did set that up. And now here's something else that I'm trying to wrap my mind around, and I want you to help me wrap your mind around it as well. Some gifts may seem more natural, and then some supernatural. And you say, well, Bo, what makes a gift more natural versus supernatural, or more supernatural or spiritual versus non-spiritual? Then here's my answer to that. Here's the answer. If your gift doesn't include the power of the Holy Spirit, then it's just a natural gift. Does that make sense? Let me explain that. I can have the gift of music. I can have the gift of I can have certain gifts. And if they're not being used and empowered by the Holy Spirit, then they're not supernatural. Does that make sense? So you say, well, what's that? What's all that mean? Well, again, you may have a gift. A lot of people have gifts, but they're not being used or led by the Spirit. Therefore, their gift is not supernatural. Because you know why? It's missing the Holy Spirit. Right? Does that make sense? And again, I'm trying to wrap my mind around that, and it's hard to even convey. The Holy Spirit is what empowers natural abilities, offices, and makes them supernatural. And again, you know, a lot of people have gifts. I don't believe, and this is just me, I have a talent, let's say, for singing or playing the guitar, but I don't believe I have the gift. I look at people like Brad Paisley, I look at people like Keith Urban, I look at people like Chet Atkins and Vince Gill, I believe that they have a gift that has been given to them by God. But here's the deal. If it's just a gift given to them by God and they don't know Christ and they don't glorify Christ through their gift, then it's not supernatural. Does that make sense? I mean, again, we can have the gifts all we want, but if we're not giving them to God, if they're not led by God, then they're not supernatural. They're only just gifts. And so, again, I don't know how to explain that really well, but here's the truth. God is not limited by the gifts that we're going to talk about today. There are certain gifts that aren't listed in the Bible that he gives people, and so we're going to dive into them. Number one is this, and you don't have to write all this down. I'm going to write it for you. Number one, in the Bible, and you can look up these gifts in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, but the first one is an apostle. That's my chicken scratch. You like that? An apostle. You say, what the heck is an apostle? I mean, you're getting real deep here. And again, we're going to get deep for a little bit. But an apostle is a person that is sent by God. These are the church planters. Again, some people would call me an apostle. And again, I don't want to be called an apostle. Don't do it. Some of you guys are like, yes, that's a great... But I believe the apostle is the person that's sent out. Just like in the New Testament, they were sent out, they started new churches, and they were used by God to establish the church. Number two, and again, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you have the prophet or prophecy. This is a gift, prophecy. Prophecy, whatever. See, I'll do it like that. Prophecy. And you say, well, okay, what's a prophet or what is prophecy? And again, sometimes, not, and it's rare, but sometimes prophets can foretell the future, but not all the time. It's rare. You think, well, a prophet's going to only tell the future. No, that's not their only gift. Listen, a prophet has discernment, and a prophet can tell what is good or bad, and they tend to verbalize pretty quickly what is good or bad. And a prophet or someone that has the gift of prophecy, if they're not led by the Spirit, they can lead a lot of people astray. They can. Number three is this. An evangelist. You guys say, what's an evangelist? An evangelist. And you say, well, what the heck's an evangelist? Well, this is the type of person that goes out and they have this uncanny gift. I don't say uncanny. I'll say supernatural gift of leading people to the Lord and then passing them on to the church. Does that make sense? You say, what's an example of this? I would say Billy Graham. Everybody know who Billy Graham is? Billy Graham is a great evangelist, the greatest evangelist that ever walked the face of the earth, I believe. And he had the gift of presenting the gospel to people, the good news. They came to Christ and then he passed them on to the local church. The fourth is this. The fourth is a pastor. Again, these are kind of specific toward, obviously, the church. A pastor. And you say, what is a pastor? Well, a pastor is called to lead guide, oversee, and shepherd the church. Number five is this. I'm going to run out of room pretty quick, I think. Number five is a teacher. And you say, what do? Well, they teach. They teach the Word of God. It's a supernatural gift that they have. Number six, and again, this is the controversial one, speaking in tongues. Sit. Whatever that is. Speaking in tongues. And you say, well, okay, but what's this all about? And again, we talked about this. You can go back and listen to it in last week's message. Speaking in tongues, again, it's kind of controversial. It's kind of confusing. And here's where we land on this. We do not prohibit speaking in tongues. You know why? Because the Bible says don't prohibit it. But we don't promote it in our church because here's why. We would rather win many than for one person to practice a gift that causes many to stay away. Does that make sense? And you say, well, are you going to prohibit it? We don't prohibit it, but we don't promote it as well. If you have the gift of speaking in tongues, you're welcome in our church. We love you, and we believe that that gift is available, but we don't promote it in our church because we have many unchurched people that come into our church that it may cause some confusion, and they would be maybe disheartened. So, again, you say, what is speaking in tongues? Well, again, it you can look at it, and again, there's a lot of ways to interpret speaking in tongues, but I'll mention three types, okay? And all of these are kind of in the Bible, depending on how you interpret the scripture. The first is speaking in an unlearned language. You say, what's that mean? I speak English, but if I had the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues and I went to Japan and I spoke in English, they could be able to hear me in their native tongue. In other words, Japanese. Does that make sense? It happened in the New Testament and you can read about it in Acts chapter 2. In other words, I can't speak Japanese, but if I had the spiritual gift of tongues, I could go and they would hear it in their native language. The second one is it's a supernatural utterance. And again, you say, well, what's all this about? Go study it. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. A supernatural utterance. In other words, an unknown language that nobody understands except for the Lord and the person that can interpret that language. The third part, and a type of maybe a spiritual gift, would be a prayer language. Again, this is more of a private speaking in tongues that you may do in the closet at your house. And so, again, that's the speaking in tongues. Number seven is the interpretation of tongues. I'm sorry, I could spell it, but I'm not thinking. Interpretation of tongues. And you say, well, what's that? Well, again, you have the gift of interpreting the guy that gets to speak in tongues. And so you have that gift. Number eight is faith. Some people have a supernatural dose, a special dose of faith. Now, we all have to have faith to believe in Christ, but a lot of us, or some of us, have a supernatural gift of faith. The ninth thing, and again, these are in kind of random order, is service. Some people have this gift of service. And again, all of us are called to serve, but some people have this gift and they don't mind getting treated like a slave. They don't mind being used. They don't mind, you know, the idea of getting burnt out. They just have this supernatural gift. Number 10 is this. Number 10 is healing. And again, this is kind of controversial. But I believe it's biblical. I mean, again, the God of the universe can heal anybody. Amen. But here's the cool thing about God. God does the healing, not the man. Does that make sense? But God uses man to heal people. And again, this kind of can happen not just in a natural way of taking medicine, but this can happen in a supernatural way through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the gift of healing. And again, it's not just physical healing. It can be emotional healing. You can be a person that offers emotional healing to somebody through the gift that God's given you. The 11th thing is miracles. Miracles. And again, we don't see these in a miraculous way like maybe in the Bible, but we still see miracles. And again, they're just as miraculous. They may not be, you know, as, I guess, public, if that makes sense. But some people have the supernatural gift of miracles. Number 12 is wisdom. This is a gift that is beyond wisdom that is natural. Number 13 is knowledge. How many of you guys have ever met somebody that just knows everything and you don't know how the heck they know it? They just have this gift of knowledge. And again, they just eat it up. They just know things. And again, it's a supernatural gift of insight. Number 14 is discernment. Discernment. Okay, discernment. And again, some of you guys maybe not know what that is. It's an uncanny or the supernatural ability to judge truth from error and again, or good from evil. And so they have that gift. Number 15 is giving. And again, you say, well, what's that mean? Well, a gift of giving is some people just have this supernatural gift of coming up with resources that they can give. Or they just give and continue to give. And it's about certain resources. Number 16 is encouragement. And I'm just going to... Encouragement. Okay? Encouragement. How many of you guys know anybody that has the gift of encouragement? Anybody? Yeah, I mean, they're just always encouraging. They have this gift of just making you feel like $1 million. I love people like that. Number 17 is leadership. I'm going to do this. Leadership or administration. It's a gift, and it's listed in the Bible. Again, this is the supernatural ability to steer people to accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. And again, it's leadership. Number 18, and I ran out of room. Number 18 is mercy. I do not, how many of you guys do not have this gift? Come on now, join me in my, you know, in my confession. I struggle with this one because I want to say suck it up, right? But this is a supernatural gift as well, and some people just have it, and they can, you know, physically, when people are hurting, they have that gift of mercy emotionally and mentally. Number 19 is this, and it's just a simple word, helps. These are the people that show up and they help other people do other jobs, right? Like they free people up because they show up to help, and those other people get to do other jobs. Now, this is the last one, and we're going to move forward. Hospitality. Hospitality. Love people with the gift of hospitality. You know why? Because they make people feel like, again, $1 million. And they show people, again, that they're welcome. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, where are all these listed? Again, these are listed in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, 1 Peter 4. You can go back and look at those scriptures, and you will find in one way or another these gifts listed in the Bible. Now, you say, are there other gifts? Yes, there are other gifts. Is God limited to just this list? No, He is not. But in one way or another, I believe that all of our gifts will fall under one of these categories or one of these words. And so you say, what are spiritual gifts? Again, here's a list of a lot of the spiritual gifts. Now, here's question number 4. You ready? What are the spiritual gifts for? You look at this list and you go, well, what are all these gifts for? Number 1 is this. Our spiritual gifts are for edifying the church. Our spiritual gifts are used and are supposed to be used to uplift the church, to build the church up, and to encourage the church. And again, all of these gifts should be used to unify the church and edify the church, not tear it down. Right? And so again, you say, well, where's that found? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. 1 Corinthians 4:12. The same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the what? What does it say? That will strengthen the whole... Yeah. That will strengthen the whole church. Why do I always do that when we're late? Never mind. That will strengthen the whole church. 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it so with the strength of that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Again, you say, what are these spiritual gifts used for? They're used to edify and to build up the church. And again, you say, well, okay, Bo, what's all, I mean, again, I'm confused. Listen, all of these gifts, if you just had one gift, if you just had the gift of leadership and you didn't have anybody that had the gift of evangelism or the gift of wisdom or the gift of hospitality, then you couldn't really truly grow the church. Because again, the Bible says that if you only have one part of your body, it's useless. I mean, if the body was an eye, like the Bible says, then everybody would be able to see, but we wouldn't be able to hear, we wouldn't be able to walk, we wouldn't be able to do any of that stuff. And so again, the same is true in the church. We need everybody, we need their gifts, and we need them so that we can edify the church. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12:27 says this, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." And so again, are you using your gift to edify the church? The second part, you say, well, what are the gifts for? The second part is this, for the growth of the church. I believe that God wants the church to grow. I believe that God has given all of us a gift so that we can help the church grow. Amen? Because you say, well, Bo, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. We'll get to that in a minute. But here's the Ephesians chapter 4. It says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Again, your gift and my gift are not only to edify the church and to encourage the church, but to build up the church, to increase the population of heaven. And through our service, through our gifts, we can grow the church. Now, again, some of you guys are like, okay, Bo, I know that there are spiritual gifts, but I'm an accountant. What do I do about being an accountant? What am I supposed to, you know, again, be, you know, somebody else and make something up so that I can serve the church? No, listen, I believe that God has called people to be cowboys and do that full time. I believe God has called people to be accountants and oilies and teachers and all of that stuff. But here's what I also believe. I believe that everybody, listen to this, everybody that calls themselves a Christian ought to be serving and volunteering in the church and for the church. One clap. Thank you. 5, 7. Again, you look at me and you go, Bo, I mean, I don't know my gift. And maybe that, again, that's a great reason probably not to serve in the church. But we're going to remedy that after today. You're going to be able to find out your spiritual gift. But here's the truth. Just because you're an accountant doesn't mean that you can't use that ability to glorify God and to grow the population of heaven. Does that make sense? I mean, some of you guys are looking at me, what's my gift? How can I serve in the church? I believe that you have a gift and you need to be volunteering and using that gift, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a secretary, whether you're an oily, whether you work at Walmart and you're the jewelry lady, you can be used by God. I love the jewelry lady. Listen, and so again, I know that God calls people to do other things. I mean, we've all got to make a living, but I believe that we are called to use our gift for the glory of God in the church. And you say, Bo, I don't have to come to church to be a Christian. You're right. You coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. But here's the truth. When people say, Bo, I don't have to come to church to be a Christian to love Jesus. Here's my comeback. You have a gift. And if you're not using it in the church, then you are not being obedient to God. Does that make sense? I mean, again, so people say, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do any of that stuff. Listen, God has given you a gift so that you can help edify the church and grow the church body. And so here's the thing. You say, Bo, what's the last question? And here's the last question and I'm done. How do I discover my spiritual gift? Again, a lot of you guys are looking at me like, Bo, I don't know, really understand all this, but I want to know what my spiritual gift is. Here's my answer. If you want to know what your spiritual gift is, you have to start serving. How am I going to know what my spiritual gift is if I never step out and never stop serving? Now, here's the thing. I would say start serving in an area short term. Say, hey, I want to join that team, but I only want to join it for a month. And I want to see if God uses me supernaturally on that team. And after a month, we reevaluate and you go, that's not my gift. or that is absolutely my gift. You say, so how do I discover my spiritual gift? You have to start serving. And again, some people are like, man, what, you know, how do I know? Listen, if you start serving and you start getting this Holy Spirit driven fulfillment and joy in your life, it's probably your spiritual gift. I mean, again, it's probably your spiritual gift. And so, again, my question to you is, what do you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy doing? How do you enjoy serving the Lord? I mean, it's a great question. How do you enjoy doing that? And you ought to take what you enjoy and serve God through that. And again, you know, here's something else that I want to touch on. A lot of people think they have a gift, but they really don't. Right? I mean, can we just be honest? I mean, some people, they walk up, hey, Bo, I want to sing, and I just love singing, and I believe it's my spiritual gift. And then I go, all right, play me something. They're like, oh, you know, and then I'm like, that's probably not your spiritual gift. I could say something about my wife, but I won't. She just said it, so it's okay for me to say it. My wife, she can actually sing pretty good, but sometimes I howl when she's singing, and that doesn't go over very well. But here's the thing. Just because you're enthusiastic about something doesn't mean you have the gift. It has to be empowered by God. And you say, Bo, how do I know what my spiritual gift is? Again, you got to start serving. And then here's the other part. You've got to start listening to people that love Jesus, have wisdom, and kind of know you. Again, I maybe had thought I had this gift, and then somebody comes along and says, Bo, that's probably not your gift, but I see this in you, and I believe that this is how God can use you in a mighty way. And not, again, unspiritual, ungodly people, but spiritual, godly people that can say, I believe this is your gift, and I believe this is how God wants to use you. And so again, you say, how do I begin to know what my gift is? You begin to serve and you listen to godly people. And here's the third thing. And this is the truth about every time I preach. I don't want to ever challenge anybody to do something that I don't equip them to do. And so here's what we're going to do. At the end of the service today, as you leave today, you're going to receive a spiritual gift inventory or a spiritual gift survey. You can take this, and again, it's just kind of one of those, it's a spiritual gift inventory. It's kind of like a personality test or whatever that you can take, and it will kind of guide you to a sweet spot that you may enjoy or a sweet spot that you feel like maybe that's my gift. Again, it's not always right. It's not 100%, but it will guide you toward what maybe could become or maybe is your spiritual gift. So as you leave today, we're going to hand that out to you, okay? So again, you can't have any excuses to go, I don't know, or I can't figure this out. No, you can figure it out. And through service, through talking to other people, through taking that spiritual gifts test, God can reveal those things to you, okay? Now here's the thing. How many guys, grab your little gift right here. We're going to end with this. Take out your little gift. Don't open it. Now here's the thing. Some people want to make a big deal about their spiritual gift. They want to make a huge deal about it. They want to say, well, look at me. I've got this spiritual gift. Look at me. Now, listen, I want to wrap up this series by saying this. The true gift is the Holy Spirit. It's not whether I can sing real good or whether I can play the guitar real good or whether I can preach good. That stuff is obviously a gift from God. And again, we need to be using our gifts. But the true gift is the Holy Spirit himself. He is the gift. And so here's the question. And again, some of you guys have cheated and opened this already. Do not open this. If you desire to have a friendship with the Holy Spirit, at some point, not today, maybe, not right now, I want you to open your gift. But if you say, Bo, I don't want to be used by God, and I don't really want to follow God, I don't want to really serve him at this time in my life, I love it. I love it because you're being honest. I hate fakes. I hate people that go, yeah, I'm going to be used by God. Okay, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And so here's what I want you to do. At some point in your life, maybe not today, again, I want you to open this gift. When you're ready to be used by the Holy Spirit. Okay? I want you to open that up. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Again, some of you are here today and you're like, man, Holy Spirit, that's all over my head. Listen, it doesn't have to be. Here's what I would challenge you to do. Take the Bible, open it up, read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 14, and study the gift of the Holy Spirit. Study it. Because you know why? A friendship with the Holy Spirit, it can change your life. Because you know why? That gift that you think you have can become empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so I challenge you. Seek God. Turn to the Holy Spirit. Love Him with all your heart. And again, some of you are here today and you're like, "Well, I don't even know if I have the Holy Spirit in my life." Listen, you can remedy that as well. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. And you say, "Well, what's that mean?" That means that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that died on the cross so that you could have eternal life, will come and He will forgive you of your sin and He will begin to live in you. And guess what? When you do that, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you as well. And so you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you say, "Well, again, I want to do that." Listen, you can do that right there in your seat. You can just pray this simple prayer in your heart. "Lord, give me your forgiveness. I confess you as my Lord, and I want you to come into my life, and I want you to save me. I believe in you. I believe that you rose from the dead, and I need you in my life." Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, that is the best decision that you'll ever make in your life. And listen, you don't have to walk alone. And you're not alone anymore. The Holy Spirit has come to indwell in you. And now you have a friendship with the Holy Spirit. And you can walk through this life not alone. Now here's the thing. You make that decision today. We want to know about it as well, so that we can walk alongside of you and show you how to live a life that glorifies God. To give you a Bible so that you can walk with the Lord daily as you read and pray and ask God to guide your life. And so here's what we ask you to do. Grab that orange card, fill it out, place it in one of these yellow buckets, and we will contact you about your decision that you made today. Please do that. For others of you, you're Christian already. You possess the Holy Spirit in your life, but maybe you're here today and you've never been used by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you have a great job. You're good at what you do, but you've never done it for the glory of God. You've never done it with the power that the Holy Spirit can give you. Listen, maybe your prayer needs to be, "Holy Spirit, work through me. Work through me at my job and show me what my spiritual gift is so that I can serve the church." Some of you, you've come to this church for 4 years now and you've never served in the church. Listen, I challenge you. You say, "But I don't know what my gift is." Let's figure it out together. You sign up. I'll help you sign up. Whatever. Get online. Find out what the teams are. Sign up. Start serving. And we will figure out what your gift is. And we will put you to work. And so again, maybe you need to commit to do that today. Listen, here's the thing. We desire for you to be used by God. But it's your choice. Nobody can make it for you. And I pray that you would have that friendship with the Holy Spirit. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And I want to thank you for coming today. And listen, if you have questions, we can help you find the answers. Lord, we come to you today and we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how it clears up things if we will read it and if we will apply it in our lives. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for coming into our lives and guiding us and teaching us and showing us what it is that we are here to do, and help us to be obedient to what you show us. We will give you all the glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here today.
Thank you again for listening to this message. And we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.